We're in the second half of the 100 days extended for the pre-transitional period. Now, well, to speak more about this, I'm joined in by Rajab Muhandis, Executive Director of Organization for Responsive Governance. Rajab, good morning, and it's good to have you.
Yes, good morning and Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, Rajab. So just to start exactly on where we are, what is your assessment so far on this first half?
Okay, well, the first half of the extended 100-day pre-transitional period elapsed. And most of that period, the 50-day period, was burnt almost doing nothing because funds reached the mechanisms very late. It took over a month since the extension was done for them to receive funds to implement their revised plans. And that period was then lost. Otherwise, they would have possibly started something if they had funds immediately when the extension was done. So we lost a lot of time. But of course, the mechanisms in terms of what was achieved, they were able to review their plans and they were able to start some positive steps, particularly in terms of deployment of unified trainers to training centers by the Joint Transitional Security Committee, and also steps in moving forces to the training centers, which were really positive.
So you've been giving us places where the parties have done well, and mostly on security arrangements. So where do you think they have fallen short?
Well, I think overall, in terms of the security arrangements, even we did not procedurally complete some steps that would prepare the forces for training. At least by the first half of this extension, they should have completed the registration and screening of forces in preparation for their training. And this were not adequately achieved. And then, of course, we expected, as part of the outstanding issues, to get the issue of the number and boundaries of states resolved. There were several meetings of the parties, particularly on the 2nd to the 4th of December, convened by IGAD and facilitated by the South African Deputy President. And this meeting ended without a final decision on this issue.
Right.
Of course, we also had meetings of the President and Dr. Riek Machar, and some of these issues still remain outstanding. So these were areas where we continue to have challenges. And you may be aware that there are quite a number of security laws that are still hanging, and these laws were supposed to also have been passed. So we lost that 50-day period without progress in some of these areas.
Right. And yes, just to take you a little bit behind, you spoke about funds coming in late. So who do we blame? I mean, who do we blame on that? Like, who was responsible for making sure that the funds came on time?
Well, of course, the funds were authorized by the President, and now it had to go through a process from the Ministry of Finance to the National Pre-Transitional Committee, and then from there to the mechanisms through the central bank. So in between these institutions, there was a delay. And this delay actually affected the plan and made the parties, and particularly the security mechanisms, burn most of the time sitting waiting for the resources.
Right. And we all know the main reasons as to why we had more 100 days added on to the previous 100 days was the issue of boundaries of states and security arrangements. What has been done so far to solve these contentious issues?
Well, in terms of security arrangements, you may be aware that IGAD convened a meeting here, a workshop for the parties to review their plans, which they did, to be able to implement these plans within the first within these 100 days. And the tripartite summit that took place on the 7th of December in Kampala also established an institution called the Security Supervision Mechanism that is meant to reinforce the efforts of the security mechanisms and the parties in the implementation of the transitional security arrangements. So these were additional steps taken to try to expedite the process. And in terms of the number of states the parties had several meetings. I mean, they met for 3 days.
Right.
And it was IGAD also tried to step up efforts on this front to bring the deputy president of South Africa to step up the profile of the whole discussion. Unfortunately, the final decision wasn't reached, and of course, from the reports or the statements of at the end of the discussions, we were made to know that progress was made, that the parties narrowed their gaps, that they were left with kind of two positions,
right,
that they would be choosing in between, and so that is the little progress that was made.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't gone really very far, and maybe in the next 50 days is when perhaps some tangible and more progress would be registered.
Indeed, hopefully. Now, as civil society and also an activist, are you content with the process?
Absolutely not. In terms of how much we have achieved and the way we move with the process, I'm not so sure it's quite convincing. First is that the whole process continues to drag. Remember, we are in the third pre-transitional period. We lost the first 8 months. We lost another 6 months, and we are struggling with the 100 days.
Yeah.
And so this is not a good sign. We didn't expect that the process would be this slow. And we're also concerned, in fact, with the issue of the resources that have been allocated and disbursed to the mechanisms. At this point, the major mechanism that is going to engage in the process, the transitional security arrangement, is the Joint Transitional Security Committee that is in charge of the training of the unified forces. And the funds it received amounts to about 12.5% of its budget. So with 12% to about 12.5% of its overall budget, we may not expect much more unless more resources are immediately disbursed to this mechanism,
right,
to ensure that they sustain the process and they're able to accomplish this process successfully. So we are not getting any news yet of additional resources in the wings to be moved to these mechanisms. And so that in itself is a challenge. So if there is also going to be another delay with getting resources to reinforce what they already have, I think we might also be seeing the loss of more days without activities, which may not be so good. But I think the energy of these mechanisms is good. Their level of preparedness and commitment is good. And it's important that the political leadership really supports this energy to move forward. I can actually share with you, outside the 50 days now, in the new, the round of the 50 days, they started well with yesterday about 50 trucks of food that they were moving to cantonments, training centers,
right,
which is a good sign, because food has been a problem in the cantonment sites. And so in the training centers, if they have secured sufficient quantities of food, that will push the process. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, and we see more developments coming in from the security sector there, and people are actually taking this as positive, but others say politicians are the ones who have failed. Do you also share the same sentiments as the people?
I actually absolutely share this, because everything in the country majorly is a function of political leadership. It's political leadership that makes a difference in any country. And so where the security mechanism, we may not expect so much from any of these institutions without the blessing and the support of the security, the political leadership.
Yeah.
So that is where the whole thing lies, and we expect that the political leadership will be in the lead, not only Juba-based and only in the hotels and maybe in J1. They should be all over the country to let people see their commitment to this process.
And why do you think these politicians are not making any progress, for lack of a better word?
I think they still do not have peace, enough peace among themselves. That's a point of concern. Looks like they still don't trust themselves. They are still calculating their positions politically to, make gains over each other as parties. And so that leaves them with really limited time to focus on the issues of the country. And unfortunately, it really looks like they are not driving or steering this country to the direction,
to the right direction,
not right direction, but the direction that was defined during the liberation struggle.
Right,
there
was
a clear vision and picture of the South Sudan we wanted, and so and this is clearly defined in the literature that we have about the liberation struggle. So without anchoring this peace process in that vision of the liberation struggle of the people of South Sudan, I think we will just lose the whole thing.
Right. And now, moving you back to now the midpoint, there was supposed to be an expected review meeting that was supposed to take place. Is it on the 4th, if I have my dates right? Mm-hmm. It never happened. Do you know why?
I really have one challenge we have is that this guy, particularly the National Pre-Transitional Committee that leads the overall process, is quite economical with information.
They're not as transparent as they should be.
Absolutely. So the public is not adequately informed of what is happening. It's only some of us, those who are a little bit privileged to watch, the national television, that get the opportunity to hear what they say.
Right.
Sometimes they come to SSBC and make some statements, and that's the little people are able to get. So there is no clear information, but I'm aware that they met on Friday. The NPTC convened a meeting of the mechanisms, and that meeting was kind of seen as an evaluation meeting, but of course it wasn't comprehensive enough in my assessment. So we still expect to see the evaluation. But to me, what is so important is that this is our peace agreement. And we should be seeing it's actually running South Sudan. This is part of the governance of South Sudan.
Right.
And so we would want to see our leaders taking lead in all these things, and that would give us the sense of them being in control of our country and in control of the implementation of the peace agreement. So there is need to inform the public of what is happening, and particularly to see these political leaders driving this process of the evaluation.
Right. And you also kept speaking about the South African deputy president. Well, I understand that he was supposed to come to the country for shuttle diplomacy. He has never come since then. Do you know what happened or what is happening?
Of course, again, there is no public information. However, a deputy president in a serious country is a deputy president that is busy. And the first priority of the deputy president is his country.
Right.
And so if he's so busy in South Africa, managing the affairs of South Africa, nobody would push him to come and manage the affairs of South Sudan.
Mm.
And that is where it matters for South Sudanese leaders to also be busy with affairs of South Sudan and actually leaving these affairs of South Sudan, honestly, for someone to come all the way from South Africa to come and try to help us address these issues.
Yeah.
Issues that, you know, our political leaders grew up working on. Most of these leaders we see now went to the bush in their early ages, and so they spent all their lives working on the issues of South Sudan. So to wake up today and realize that they cannot move South Sudan forward, they need someone to come from South Africa. They even need Uganda and Sudan to constitute a security supervision mechanism to come and tell them what to do with the implementation of the security mechanisms. In fact, most of these leaders, almost all of them, are security personnel.
Yeah.
They are military experts who are not only experts by training, experts by experience in the battlefields and all this. Now, we just wonder what they are doing with all this bulk of accumulated experience from the period of Anyanya 1 up to this day. So it's a point of concern, and we may not blame the South African deputy president. We will simply understand his condition. If he's unable to come to South Sudan, it is because he's running a country, and that is a serious business and his first priority.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Rajab Mohandas, we can't thank you enough for making our time to come and speak to us. And just before we let you go, what are your expectations from this process?
Well, it's difficult to have a really comprehensive and clear answer to this or expectation on how things evolve, because we keep engaging different gears, forward gear, reverse gear, and forward gear and reverse gear. So unless things drastically change and our leaders sit at the driving seat, it will be difficult to see and to predict how things will move.
Rajab Mohandas, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.